You're listening to Sideshow Network. Check out all of our shows at SideshowNetwork.tv.
Hey, everybody, it's Jen. You are about to listen to our live episode that we recorded in Manhattan Beach at the Comic Bug with special guest Graham Elwood. Just as an FYI, the audio is a little weird. Something happened with the recording. We're not sure what happened. Some people are loud, some people are quiet. But it should still be great, and we hope that you enjoy it.
And thanks again for listening. And we want to thank Mike and June from the Comic Bug in Manhattan Beach and Ben at the store. They are fantastically rad people who helped us with our PowerPoint presentation and everything. So
yes.
Thank you guys. And also thank you again to Graham Elwood. You can find him on Twitter at Graham Elwood, and Comedy Film Nerds is his podcast. And, of course, always, as thank you goes out to Worst Comics on Comics and Sideshow Network.
Yep. Thanks, guys. Enjoy.
This is fantastic. Welcome to the Worst Collection over here on Sideshow Network. Brought to you by Comics on Comics, where the greatest comic minds meet the greatest minds in comics. I'm Sean.
And I'm Jen.
And basically, the show, most of the show, Worst Collection Ever, we've been explaining this to a few folks, and this is the first time explaining this to people, to their faces.
Like a live show.
A live show. This is a show where we purposely, our collection is probably worth
Nothing.
But we own a lot have at least like 10 small boxes and stuff. So it's just
boxes of nothing.
It's garbage. It's stuff that, but garbage, good garbage, stuff that we value the read.
No, we love it. It's just no one else would ever give us money for it. So it is the worst collection ever.
And to justify buying all these books and all these.
We started a podcast.
Yeah, we started a podcast. We went to all these stores and it was like, well, if somebody's going to say to us, you spent all your money on comics.
Wasted all your money on comic books.
Obviously, they don't know the value of a podcast, and hence,
right?
Here we are. And since it's a live event.
Our first one.
Our very first one.
Ooh, live!
Thank you. We're excited to introduce a guest with us today, the mighty Graham Elwood.
Yes. Yay, Graham.
Don't feel shame for these titles, young man. You have three boxes of awesomeness. You've got three boxes of, you don't have to explain to anybody.
No.
You have three boxes of.
Well, it's one of those things where it's like if I have a friend that comes over, I used to have a friend who was like, Sean, you spent all your money on comic books. And it's like, and then sometimes I feel ashamed. And then I got married and my wife decided that she also likes comics. And then I was like, well, I'm just going to go ahead and embrace this.
Right.
And
you have the perfect marriage.
Yeah, it's pretty great. If I do say so myself, let's talk about how awesome we are.
Yeah,
but let's get into our first book. Our first book today is going to be. I'm sorry, Jen, do you have something that you want to say?
Oh, no, I was just going to say thank you so much to Graham for coming out. Sure. Graham from Comedy Film Nerds, a fantastic podcast, comedian extraordinaire, has been kind enough to drive to this comic book store in Manhattan Beach to be our very first guest.
Yes, we're actually.
You are our first guest. We only do this together. You are our very first guest.
Oh, wow, this is awesome.
Yes, and by the way, we are live here at the Comic Bug in Manhattan Beach.
Yes.
Thecomicbug.com.
Yay!
A fantastic store with plenty of dollar boxes, incidentally. So we are excited for that. I thought I saw a quasar that I needed, and I might have to research that.
So let's get into it, I guess.
So let's get into this. The first book is going to be
The Defenders, Volume 1, Issue 90, from December 1980, called Mind Over Mandrill. And that's right. That's right.
And as you can see,
we have a PowerPoint. I'm sorry, this works really well for podcasting.
It's so great that you have a PowerPoint.
Well, there's an audience, and they
did so much better.
Yes,
this is unbelievable. This comic.
And so, the great thing is that so about this cover, you have Mandrill,
mm-hmm.
one of the ape-based villains in the Marvel Universe. And I have to say that I was actually thinking about this. DC does apes right. Marvel doesn't really pull that out. I feel like, you know,
I feel like this was like one of the, they got an old script from the Planet of the Apes TV series.
Okay.
Hey, let's dumb it up.
Let's put it in a book.
It was it's fantastic.
It's pretty great.
It's great.
So, but this is, so actually I have a question for you, Graham. You're a comic book guy. What do you know, before going into this book, what did you know about the Defenders?
It was one of those titles that I remember reading as a kid and never got that into. I was like, and I was reading through this, and at first, you know, when you sent these, I was like, oh, awesome. And I was like, oh, that's why. This was dumb when I was nine. So,
and it's still dumb today.
Yeah, yep. it just felt like one of those, like, cheap attempts at like, well, the Avengers works and the Justice League works. Let's come up with the Defenders.
Literally, the Defenders is a team where Doctor Strange is like, I need some guys. I don't care who. And we'll get this ersatz Batman that's not Moon Knight. We'll get a woman in a cat costume. Mm-hmm. And we'll get the Hulk. And
it's literally like, hey, remember all those submissions for comic book characters that we didn't buy?
Yes.
We can probably get those in a dollar bin.
It's the Defenders is the equivalent of going to Ralph's and seeing the clearance bakery items.
Yeah, clearance cake. Yep.
And just like a bunch of different donuts and scones in a package, but in combo form.
Why would I spend 75 cents on 8-year-old donuts? That's a great idea. That's the difference.
So let's get into this, though. Let's get right into it right off the bat. The book starts out where Mandrill has a femme force.
Yes,
he has a bunch of women.
I would just like to know how I join.
Well, the thing, you would have no reason. You would be joining because Mandrill has the mutant power to control women.
By his pheromones.
What? Yes.
That's right. By his form. He just smells great, you guys.
He just controls all of these
hot babes.
Oh, yeah.
Which we don't have that on the screen yet. Oh. I'm sorry. We didn't do all
but,
of them.
But we do get a little bit of a backstory for young Mandrill.
This is like the exposition. Like, they literally.
We have them up here.
These expositions are fantastic.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because it's kind of like, it's like, man, you know, my life's been rough. Back when I was 10, I wore a polo and I got hit with a rock.
Yeah.
And
my dad hated me because I looked like a giant head in a blanket.
My simian appearance aroused fear and elicited torment from my classmates, from my class hood peers. Like, not even, we got to get into more of this because everyone is explaining
everything.
It's like, they said, write this comic as though no one even knows what a comic book is.
Or a story. Or how to exist.
Like, the Daredevil is trapped in a bank vault.
Yes.
The women were controlled by Mandrill to trick him into a bank vault. I don't know why they didn't. If they had that power, they didn't just like tell him to shoot himself in the face or whatever. No, they just put him in.
They can't control him.
Oh, they can. Only
the women. The Mandrill can control the women. If you know, Daredevil is being told by women to shoot himself in the face, he's like, why?
All right.
So what's happening is Mandrill's taking his femme army, and he's going to New York because he's going to fight somebody.
And it's actually the best thing is that we'll probably see this later on, but he has a cover. His cover of his organization is the Women's Bank.
Yeah, oh, it's my favorite thing. Yeah, we'll see it. And
it actually just says the Women's
Bank.
Women
money, like, what?
Women's Bank, and that's...
Yeah, that's all it is.
Can't wait to go to the men's supermarket later. So,
1980.
I think 1980, but
As Mandrill is in his ship.
The only way for women to get power or control is to be controlled by
a monkey.
Like a monkey.
Yeah.
Supervillain.
Ape-based supervillain, yes.
That sounds right. Mandrill's getting all of his ladies, and he's going to New York to, like, take it over or whatever. So as he's doing that, we cut to the Defenders in their house.
They had
it's like a suburban house.
Yep.
They had like a housekeeper.
They live right next to like Vision and Scarlet Witch in Leona, New Jersey.
It's just like
possibly
literally like a house. And so they're like, hey.
They just Well, they all live in the same cul-de-sac.
Yeah, their kids play. Yeah, it's cute. Barbecues.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're like, okay, we have to go to Kyle's...
Kyle Richmond. So Kyle Richmond is Nighthawk. And Nighthawk is on trial for something stupid. I don't know exactly what it is.
We don't know.
But Nighthawk is basically like Batman, but like with a yellow joint on his face. And he actually has a bit more... Like, he's a bit more violent. Well, he's actually less violent, but he's more willing to kill people.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
If that makes sense. Yeah,
that's possible, yeah. So they're like, all right, we're going to go see his trial. Let's grab some food. And the housekeeper's like, well, I hope you like beans because that's all that Hulk bought last time you
went shopping. And issue 90, was it 90?
So it would be 89.
Issue number 89, the Hulk went to the store and bought all those beans.
And literally,
what is this? Why did he? I don't understand. Is that one of what reference is that? Is that like a gamma ray superfood?
Yeah, it could be very much because you know that's how he jumps so far because he's farting so hard, and that's where he gets he's able to fly through the air. It's like, oh, he's flying. No, he's just full of gas and he's just pushing his body across states.
It's a propellant.
So this is like. Like his spinach, like Popeye.
Yeah.
Yes.
I need spinach.
And Hulk needs beans.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I kind of like how they're just kind of like, hey, you know, beans. I'm too good for beans.
Yeah.
You know, but literally, they're that poor that the defenders, you know, superheroes.
Poor.
You know.
This frame is. There's no purpose for this. This is unbelievable. It's like he's beans. Like, well, I got a few dollars left with a scowl on her face.
Yeah.
So we're having this whole conversation about what superheroes are going to eat. Boy, that is fantastic. Nothing is more engaging than, wait a minute, hold on, Avengers.
Meanwhile, in the Med supermarket.
They're like, wait a minute, we got to go, you know, fight Ultron. I'm not on an empty stomach, we're not.
Get the beans, Hulk.
Quick, get the protein smoothies.
Where's the Weetabix or whatever? He's got the shred. Can I have a bowl of shredded wheat to go? You think they probably like the old woman's probably putting like Cheerios into some baggies and just handing them out at the door?
It's all carrot sticks.
Trail mix,
carrot sticks and baggies.
High energy.
Yeah, man. It has their names written on all the bags.
Well, these are often questions I have when I think about Batman when he's out on patrol. I'm like, well, when does he get time to eat? And there's actually one issue.
Batman doesn't eat.
Well, no, there's one issue where it was the Kevin Smith Batman's where he told Alfred to make him a sandwich, and then he picked up the sandwich and he was eating it. And I saw it. So,
just as an FYI to everybody here, Sean loves pictures of superheroes eating, especially if they are in costume. So anytime you find one, you can tweet it at him. He'd be really excited about that.
Right, so, yeah.
Somebody out there listening needs to draw up some superheroes eating.
Yes.
Send to Sean.
Just do the Last Supper, but just put superheroes there.
Oh.
Yes.
I'm sure that has to exist, right?
That has to exist.
It has to exist.
So what's next?
So they leave and they go to White Turret. Instead of White Castle, to go have some burgers.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Is that just like product placement in the 80s? Just like
you're not allowed to product placement in the 80s.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So White Turret. But as they're doing that, we cut to the Woman's Bank, where Daredevil is...
He's trapped in his vault, and he can't get out. And he looks like he's been.
Well, hold on. This is where we need to. This is how these are thought bubbles coming out of Daredevil. So this is how a superhero thinks. He goes. First, he's talking about, I'll give Mandrill credit for his originality. Instead of abandoning me, he keeps me in the thing. Okay. And then he starts referring to him as Mandy in his thoughts. Mandy.
Oh, that's right. Mandy.
Actual commercial bank. I guess lack of funds is not one of his problems, but he made a mistake locking me in here. With my super sensitive hearing and sense of touch, I can easily manipulate the tumblers on the vault door.
Yeah.
Do you do that in when you regularly think, like,
well, thank God I can press Sean's phone number on my iPhone because I remember how to spell Merrick.
If we all narrated our lives the way superheroes do,
like lunatics.
just man, I you know, it's just thinking. It's like, you know, by putting one foot in front of the other, I can walk to step Arby's
and step and yeah. step. And
thank God I've got a stove that works so I can cook up food.
If I turn this,
if only I had a thing to open this can that was an opener to open up this can of beans that the Hulk bought me. So anyway, so he's
trying to figure out a way out with his super senses and whatever. And as that's going on, the Hulk and Valkyrie go to Doctor Strange's so he can borrow a suit.
Because they're going to the trial.
So he borrows a suit.
So
this will come back. So just remember that he borrows Doctor Strange's
suit. He borrows a purple suit.
Purple suit.
To match his purple constant pants.
Yes. So just
that the Hulk
keep
wears.
That in mind.
He got a suit from Bernie Mac.
Yeah.
Pretty much, he bought a suit from Samuel L. Jackson that he wore to the Oscars in 1999.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So as that's going on, Hellcat is trying to get her stuff back because they're, like, locked in Kyle's place.
Wait a minute. There's some great stuff with Hellcat's cape.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, she has, like a special...
It's like telekinetic.
Yeah, she's got, let's see, here's what I'm after, my shadow cloak that I confiscated from Vera Gemini's Agent of Fortune. I'd hate to lose it, not with the cloak's properties as a dimensional doorway.
Okay.
She says this to herself. So she's got a dimensional doorway cloak.
Mm-hmm. So
these guys literally just pulled words out of a bowl.
Yeah, they really did.
To make this.
Yeah.
They were like, just throw it down, guys.
She's got a cloak, and it's a door to dimensions. Yeah.
It was like Mad Libs, but Marvel.
This comic is Marvel Mad Libs.
So she gets her awesome cape, and as she's running out, oh my god, the Femme Force shows up.
And oh yeah.
She starts fighting them, and I just want to show you that this panel right here is just an array of crotches.
Yeah.
Just look at all, I mean, they're lovingly rendered butts.
Yeah.
But you have to, the one right before it is where, again, she's telling the ladies, do you even have a... She says to them, do any of you have a telekinetically controlled shadow cloak?
As a matter of fact, I do.
Wouldn't that be great if one of them was like, yes?
And here's what the femme fatale say. Her cape moves like a thing alive. So this is just laser sharp dialogue.
It sure is. So as that's going on, she like throws a sword at this vat of pheromones, which opens, and now Hellcat has been.
She's been dosed.
Recruited to the Femme Force. So as that's going on, Daredevil has devised a plan to get himself out of the bank vault by using.
Quick, I just want to say this now. Everyone watching and listening might be like, well, no, Hellcat's drowning in the pheromones.
Oh, no.
Becoming evil. Upside is, she's got a job at the woman's bank.
Right. I mean...
Yeah. She could totally buy a better breakfast than beans.
She could get all the crazy shadow cloak capes she wants.
Yeah.
Finance pays well. That was a real, like... That's kind of like an upward career move for her. So Daredevil, like, uses his... stick, and it has
the baton. Yeah, his baton.
And he gets the phone.
He gets a phone.
He's able to
from a
bank vault through a vent to dial the operator and have her direct him to the courthouse.
So he can call the courthouse to tell them to hold on.
Yeah,
during his trial, because that's how it works.
But hold on, here he goes. You know, please, I'm sorry, sir. You have to speak. I said, connect me to the Manhattan Federal Courthouse. Then the operator, very helpful, very thrifty, says, That number is in your directory. You can save money by dialing direct. And then he literally says, I'm blind. Just yells at her, and, oh, please hold the
moment. It's actually funnier when you think about him yelling at this woman about how he's blind. If you imagine if it's Arnold Schwarzenegger yelling at her, it's like, I'm blind, you idiot.
I don't have a directory, and I'm blind. Please, it is urgent.
Who is your dad here? What does he do?
It's not a tumor. No.
So after we cut back to the courthouse and there's a lot of trial stuff and Valkyrie's mad and whatever, really, it doesn't matter. So
court proceedings matter. This is like episode one Star Wars prequels. Okay. You know, basically, like,
most boring. Like, well, let's get them talking about what they're gonna eat. let's get them trying on a suit, and then let's have some pre-trial, just basic language.
They might have just shown the jury selection. I feel gypped that we didn't get to see that.
I'd show the jury like driving to the courthouse,
finding a place to park.
What I was really hoping for was that. At one point, you know, maybe one of the juries could have been like, hey, I can't make, I have a conflict, I have to leave and go teach in Germany for a month, you know, and then they have to find, a, you know, like the extra person, and then the Hulk farts because he's got beans, and he ruins Doctor Strange's purple suit.
Right.
You know. You got the White Castle on my telekinetic kinetic cloaks.
The White Turret.
White Turret, yeah, sorry.
So, as all this is going on, like, Daredevil's partner apparently gets this phone call that, you know, because Daredevil is calling, and then he tells Kyle that, yes, Daredevil's like in a bank vault. So just as that happens, Hellcat and her femme force walk in to start fighting at the courthouse for some reason that is yet to be determined.
With Valkyrie.
For no reason, though.
Well, because they're under Mandrill's control, so he's probably like, you know, she's doused in his goo,
right?
You know, his life goo.
And Valkyrie, courthouse? Valkyrie is just nuts.
Yeah, she's a crazy person.
She's just yelling at everybody. Everything's a crazy fight. It's like, oh, yeah. Valkyrie.
She's
like, calm down.
Enough.
She might need some counseling. I think that's really what's going on here.
Like a manic episode.
Yeah. Maybe it was the White Castle. So,
well, they're so small. She's probably very angry that they're not.
They need to be bigger.
I can fit like four in my mouth at once. This is bullshit.
These are overrated just because you can't get them. Like, remember when you couldn't get Coors?
That, I would love to see that line of him. Valkyrie's just like, damn it, I wanted my banquet, Coors banquet, and I couldn't get it. And it's just like 3 pages of her talking about her favorite microbrews.
Oh. It would fit right in.
It would.
So when the Femme Force walks in, Valkyrie's under their control, and they're all trying to stop her, and then the Hulk's like, oh, don't hurt the pretty lady, and then he does that.
It's great because the Hulk turns into Robert Urich from Spencer from Hire. This is very sad. Or as initially I thought, Peter Tarkanian from Press Your Luck. No whammies, indeed.
Nice.
I also want to say this is another panel where crotches are featured heavily.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Being pounded.
He's just really giving him elbow drops. As you can see, what happened to Doctor Strange's suit
is ruined.
It is no more.
Thankfully, though, he was wearing the purple pants.
It would have looked weird if they were like khaki.
Yeah, I know. The Hulk can't be wearing, he wasn't wearing like a Vince McMahon suit that's just like salmon and plaid at the same time. Like, he's like, you know, like Doctor Strange is actually a big fan of Don Cherry, so he's just got a bunch of like really like ugly like plaid like suits.
Well, they just justify it, just like, oh, he's always in yoga pants. I don't want to rip any more suits.
Oh, Hulk says namaste or whatever.
Namaste, but Hulk would mispronounce it.
Namaste.
I'll give you credit for that. No, it wasn't intentional.
So
you do a lot of yoga there, Sean?
I call it.
It's constant.
I call it yoga. I have to go to Pilates later.
Nice.
So Keith like puts on his Kyle puts on his costume, rushes over to the women's bank.
Women's bank.
Freeze
of America.
Or freeze Daredevil, and Daredevil's like, "Hey man, thanks." Of course, the cops show up and they're like, "Daredevil, you're a nice guy. I can't wait to hear the story you've got for us."
You're hanging with this. Yeah, they're not like mad. It's like you're always one of the good guys. You're hanging with this chud.
Yeah.
That's what cops do.
Of course.
They go freeze. They go backstory.
They look at like, you know, like that doesn't happen to Whitey Bulger. They're like, "You're always a good guy, and now you're hanging out, you know."
So they're like, "Sorry to disappoint you. We don't have time to explain." And they of course break right through the top of the ceiling, causing, you know, thousands of dollars in damage.
The door.
No, wouldn't want to do
Fuck
that.
Fuck doors. Yeah.
We're the good guys.
To go join the fight on top of the courthouse where everyone is fighting the Femme Force.
It's a friggin' party.
It is a party. And there's Hulk's throwing stuff around. And Daredevil shows up and he's getting manhandled or lady handled.
Yeah, he is.
So all that's going on. And then as that's going on, Mandrill is leaving and he's taking his favorite mode of transportation.
The cab.
The taxi cab.
Yeah. Super villains. What if he doesn't have the money? Well, thank God, the only female cab
that's right,
in
yeah.
all of New York. 1980 New York City is driving.
Yes, indeed.
You know what would be great, actually, is because I like this, like, she's like, "So, pal, you're going to a punk rock party or something?" And like the next panel is like him at a Gigi Allen concert. Just covered in human waste.
Yeah.
Man, the Gypsy Motherfucker was a good song.
So as he drives away, I can never remember this guy's name.
Does it matter?
No. Keith goes up to Hellcat.
Colorful Batman.
Kyle, Keith, whatever the hell. Colorful Batman goes up to Hellcat, and he's like, "The only thing that I can do to help you is to electrocute you." So that's exactly what he does. He makes her, like, put her little claw thing into a voltage line, so it electrocutes her and frees her from Mandrills.
Might as well kill her, but no.
But
just shock out
shock out the female hatred.
He literally thinks, he goes, "Blasted, I'm holding back from really fighting her. I can't bring myself to risk hurting Patsy." Literally two panels later, he electrocutes her.
This is for your own good, Patsy.
This is because I love you.
Look what you made me do.
Look at what you made me do.
I didn't have to electroshock you. You just quit hassling me.
So we got Hulk and Valkyrie having it out. Hulk, you know, knocks her out, and she get away? I think she gets away, right?
She jumps on her Pegasus and she flies away.
Knocks her right into her Pegasus.
Yes.
Yes.
Convenient.
Yeah, it was good, yeah.
Which is good. So she flies away, still under Mandrill's control, and he drives away in his cab, gets to wherever he's
going.
It's
a free fare.
Free fare to wherever
free
he's going.
Fare, straight up free fare, because he's just like, I'm not going to pay for this. She's like, "You're right."
Yeah. And then, of course, we cut back to the courtroom because what's happening in the courtroom is really important to make sure that we have the final panel showing rocks falling on one of the attorney's heads. So that's how this comic book ends.
That doesn't make you
want to
get the next episode.
That's a question we ask: is that would you want to read the next issue of this book?
No, I don't care what happens to the court. It is like the Star Wars prequels.
Yeah,
like I don't even count them.
Right.
Someone said there's been three Star Wars movies, and then those three are actual. I don't know if you know. This is a little. There's three. They're actually three educational videos about intergalactic trade tariffs. That are studied by college students at Naboo. That's common. People get that mixed up.
Those were really long educational videos.
Well, you know, they're very thorough. It's a graduate program.
Oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense.
It's very intense. And
I took out student loans to attend those movies. It was because it was valuable. I needed that, you know, that space trade information.
I mean, you use it every day.
Mm-hmm.
So the next book we have is World's Finest, Volume 1, Issue 189 from November 1969, called The Man with Superman's Heart. That's right. Now, I just want to take a moment to bask in the glory that is this cover. Because we've got Superman underneath the sheet. All you can see is his boots because he is dead. You have a doctor talking to Batman, who's also, I don't know, in the morgue for some reason, but not dead.
He's having a party.
And the doctor says to him, before he died, Superman willed his super heart to you, Batman. Are you ready for the transplant? And Batman says, no, I'm not worthy to have his heart. I know someone more deserving.
There's a lot of pre-surgery shouting. It's good.
Which happens quite often.
I know that in the surgeries that I've had, I just kind of have you have to have that banter, That's how they get you worked up so you can go to they can knock you out and stuff, and they're like, all right, he's just gonna tire himself out. We'll just cut him open.
It's like dealing with a toddler.
Yeah. Anyway.
So we start out here with this lovely picture of Superman laying on a table and Batman barely holding himself up because his best friend is dead. And it says, your two favorite heroes, Superman and Batman, in one adventure together. And Robin. Don't forget Robin.
Yeah, Robin's shoved in there somehow.
Spoiler alert, Robin is useless.
Oh, yeah. Yes, he is.
Well, because it's not about him. It's about Batman and Superman and their loving relationship.
Their loving, caring relationship. So we start this comic book with a bunch of people sitting at the park having a nice day.
Nice day in Metropolis.
Really just enjoying this day in Metropolis. And then all of a sudden they're like, hey, what's that thing coming straight for us? We could move, but let's just sit here and wait.
No, they move. Actually, I have to say, to their credit, they move a few feet.
Okay, they move like 3 feet to the left, and they're like, I hope it doesn't hit.
Look at that fiery doom flying towards us.
Sky. It's fine.
Let me just scooch over.
Whatever it is crashes into the ground, creates a crater, and it is a mangled Superman who's very, very mangled. And they're like, oh my God, so sad. Somebody pulls him out of a hole. He's dead.
Cue the Our Lady Peace song. Superman's dead.
And then so then we have a montage where we even get an illustration, but I didn't put it in the PowerPoint, of Richard Nixon giving a shout out to Superman because he was so great and like the United Nations.
In the classic, like, everyone, one guy with a weird,
hat,
Middle Eastern Turkish hat, and mm-hmm. everyone at the.
What's wrong with the woman from? Is that a British woman with her face? She's got mumps or something.
She must, because she looks like she has mumps, but she's also wearing a crown.
Yes.
So she wants to look fabulous while ill.
So that's the Queen of England.
Going, okay. So everybody.
Super Bloke is dead.
Super Bloke.
Super Bloke.
Super Bloke's dead.
Super Bloke.
So we cut
coming
to
soon from Alan Moore.
Daily Planet office. I would totally read Super Bloke.
I would read Super Bloke. If Alan Moore wrote it.
So we cut to the Daily Planet office where everybody's really sad. Lois, of course, is crying, and Jimmy is upset. Everybody's sad, and they're like, "Oh man, he's never going to do anything great again." And Batman just shows up. He's like, "Hey guys, I'm here."
You didn't ask for me, but I'm here.
Nobody asked me to come. Here's a will that he just happened to write and give to me like 2 months ago.
In a sealed envelope.
In a sealed envelope. Let's open it, shall we? Not like through a lawyer or anything.
These jerks, these jerks just write stupid things to each other and just for the hell of it. Like the premise of all these World's Finest books are just like dumb shit they do to amuse themselves.
What I really hope is that they open that envelope and it's just a picture of a dick.
A super dick.
That's all. Just a drawing.
Uh-huh. Made you look. It's like, oh, he that Clark.
Oh, you know. Superman.
Superman. He doesn't have a will. He's an alien.
This is already better than Batman v Superman, you guys.
Oh, yes.
So they open it up and they find out that Batman or Superman has decided to will his organs to a deserving person.
Mm-hmm.
And,
they put Batman on immediately is in a table, like, yeah, ready to do it.
They're like, you don't really need an organ transplant because all your organs are working fine.
They work very good because he's Batman and he's very
you're
athletic.
A healthy individual.
Well, who's bringing the instruments? Another doctor? No, Supergirl is going to fly in with special.
Right there. Ones.
Well, my favorite thing is
and there they are.
So the instruments, if you could see them here. You have an oyster shucker up top.
Yeah.
You have a series of compasses. Because basically the way to operate a Superman is to do just trigonometry.
I think there's also a lobster fork in there.
Yeah, lobster fork.
Like hammers your doctor hits on your knee.
Yeah, yeah. And there's also one of those things, too. I use that to open up oranges. Like to kind of peel them.
Oh, yeah, and then a squirt gun.
Yeah, squirt gun.
I would also like to point out that Superman created these instruments, 2 months before his death. Just FYI. Yeah. Just in case he ever needed to be cut into pieces.
But I do want to point something out on the cover of the book. If you go back to the cover real quick, you don't have to. Oh, you want to do that? Yeah, I guess you can do that. You see that the instruments on the table are nothing like that.
Oh, no, they're regular instruments.
Yeah, you got some forks and scissors and...
The surgical fork.
Surgical fork, yes. Well, that reminds me of the one, I read this one issue of, I think it was a Justice Society or an All-Star Squadron, where Wonder Woman used a surgical blowtorch. I thought that was, so this is kind of like that, I guess.
It's right in there. So,
there's a great Caesar's ghost line. Perry. At the Daily Planet.
They just pressed a button and he said that.
Yeah.
He's got one of those things in the back of it, in his back. You just pull it.
Hey, Mr. Perry. Great, he's his ghost.
So Supergirl brings the instruments and Batman sees him and he's like, you know what? No, I'm out. And he just, because he was, as we saw earlier, laying on the table in his costume, he just stands up and walks away.
Which I'm telling you, okay.
He's like,
this is okay, first of all, I mean, to actually have a surgery, like, he's not hooked up to anything. Like, no IVs, blood supply, nothing has been prepped.
He's fine.
Not a damn thing. He's wearing the same clothes he swung in on.
He's wearing his shoes. He's wearing his shoes, and the doctors are just like, we'll just cut him open, it's cool.
The belt, he doesn't take off the utility belt, nothing.
You can't perform surgery that way.
Nope. But apparently in this world you can. But after he sees these crazy instruments, he's like, I'm out. So he jumps up and he's like, I'm not worthy to receive the transplant. Wait until
deserves it.
A great scientist or a statesman, you know, these parts are going to keep. Yeah.
Statesman, yeah.
Statesman.
Guys, Anthony Weiner deserves Superman's lungs.
Who doesn't? So they're like, all right, well, they cut Superman up into pieces anyway.
Chop this.
And they're like, let's go see what it looks like. Like, let's see all these pieces in, like, jars. But then you see this. And it says, this scene is censored by the Comics Code Authority. So it's just like a black panel with, like, speech bubbles over.
Because you don't want to see actual superhero meat, body meat. Now, but the thing is, it's like, okay, first of all, Superman, again, is an alien. Why? And I know that, you know, Jen and I have this discussion about whether or not Superman really does have human body parts.
He has a dick. For the last goddamn time, he has a dick.
I know, okay, well, right. But, I mean, you know, for him to
we
be like,
this a lot.
Like he's got, you know, proper lungs and proper, like, retinas.
These are the arguments you guys have.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
This is what I love.
Often,
this
often.
A nerd marriage argument is just like, hey, Superman absolutely has a dick. There's no way he could have a dick.
Do you want to know, I have been trying to tell him Superman has a dick for about, 3 years at this point? What it took for him to believe me was that scene in Man of Steel where they show that random naked baby.
Oh. And I was like, I guess it's canon.
Oh, it's canon.
You know?
I'm like, oh, sure. Believe the stupid movie over your wife.
Stupid movie, indeed.
One, the baby was buck naked.
See?
Yeah, yeah, okay. Well, but, I mean, but still, I mean.
Lois isn't hanging around for the flying.
That's my point. That's my point. So yeah, we have the Comics Code Authority, and then they bear.
Man of Steel, woman of Kleenex, have you?
I ignore that. So they bury Superman, and then it's like, oh, come back for part two. And there's actually and there's part two. A literal part two, which I didn't put in the PowerPoint, but you can see here as I'm holding it up. It says part two.
And this is the where it just gets insane.
Right, it doesn't make sense.
It wasn't insane already? That Superman just got up out of non-prep surgery to Batman? I mean,
no,
come on.
It gets more insane.
It gets more insane.
Yes. Oh, it gets better because I think, we'll see in a second here.
Yeah, so Lex Luthor, of course, has to show up, and he's, like, at Superman's grave, pissed off because he didn't get to kill Superman. He's, like, super pissed. At the same time, Bruce Wayne takes a phone call from the commissioner who's like, hey, we need your help because there's, like, the Gang of Four or something. Who's
the Gang of Four. They're going to perform Anthrax at the Middle East in Boston.
Yeah, sure.
I love a man in a uniform.
So Batman and Robin run off.
The Gang of Four.
Speed away. And at the same time, we have another car, which looks like a doorstop.
Yes.
So this is Lex's car.
Oh, yes.
This doorstop thing is the car that Lex Luthor drives around.
So he picks up all the ladies,
in his one seat
doorstop.
So he's driving along, and all of a sudden, an alien comes down from space because that's cool. And what happens?
Well, how would you know that he's an alien? Would it be the dialogue that says, "You're obviously not of this planet"?
Who are you?
That's bullshit. He could very well be. What if he lives in, like, you know, like Poughkeepsie or something?
He could. Well, I mean,
he's Mongolian.
Well, kind of like a Mongolian Skeletor in thigh-high boots. It's kind of what he looks like. And so this guy just happened.
I came from a male strip club in Shanghai.
Can I take a ride in your doorstop?
So this guy shows up just to tell Lex Luthor that he was in space. Superman was in space. Superman saw him, started a fight with him.
Well, because this guy apparently is like...
He's a space pirate.
He's a space pirate. Arr. And he...
I'm sorry, what?
Arr.
You mean arr?
Arr.
There you go.
I had to get up. So he is a space pirate, and apparently he's the baddest of the bad, and Superman's like... Look! I saw your ship. I saw your parachute flying, and
let's fight.
You know, I'm gonna,
instead of talking or anything, I'm just gonna punch you in the face. So they start fighting, and this guy has like
the new 52, 40 years before.
So this guy has like a belt thing that like zaps Superman, but it like kills him.
It's
but
a plasma
he
death belt.
Die for a while. I don't know how it works. It fatally wounds him, but he doesn't actually succumb until he's, like, falling onto all those people at the playground.
Perfect.
Yeah.
It's a good plan.
Yeah, it's a great plan. So he, this guy's like, all right, well, and Luthor's like, you cheated me. And the guy's like, you know, just FYI, he has his body has been cut up and they're going to put it into deserving people. Just, you might want to know that. All right, I'm going back to my planet now. And he leaves.
They took him to a sizzler and he's gonna be hidden in the hot bar, and you have to find him.
I just love that this exposition, that this guy literally shows up in this comic book just to tell Luthor about the organs, and then he gets back in his ship and leaves, and you never see him again.
Good job, guy.
That's it. End of this.
Good job, loser.
So then, meanwhile, Metropolis, Batman and Robin are kicking asses.
Yeah, they're throwing their taints around.
Yeah, they're trying to, you know, fight this Gang of Four, and then they like shake some guy down.
Gang of Four.
Whatever.
Are they going on tour with New Order later?
Yes. So Batman shakes this guy. He's like, tell us what you know about the Gang of Four. He's like, I don't know anything. And so then he hands him off to the cops, and somehow he's become 19 feet tall.
Yes, clearly.
He's been drawn in this way where the cop is so little, but Batman is humongous.
Those are some fine legs.
Yeah, and they always render Batman's legs.
Just like, nice. How about a little bat shank?
Loving bat shank.
The Batman v Superman better just have a lot of bat shank in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that's something that's gonna save that. You know, like there's just gonna be a scene where Ben Affleck with his lovable bat shank is just gonna, you know, put his leg up on a desk and Lex Luthor's gonna be like, Mr. Wayne, whatever that line is from The Graduate.
Whatever that line is from The Graduate.
You know the line.
Yes. Movies.
That one line of dialogue.
Sure. So, are you trying to seduce me, Mr. Wayne? Hey, I did it.
There you go. Yay. Good job. Yay.
You have a film degree.
Proud of you, babe. So Batman and Robin like speed off and find out that there's somebody trying to steal Superman's organs, and oh my god, it's Lex Luthor.
I have a question. Why isn't it that they didn't if they're getting all these organs out, why didn't they just go for everything?
Right, like that's my question. Like I assume somebody, they only go for a certain number of organs.
But why not his kidneys? You know, because obviously he's so human, he has these great kidneys. He could totally filtrate every piece of booze in the world. His stomach, I mean, he would be the chili-eating champion.
I can drink for days without having any trouble with now these super kidneys. Is that what Lex Luthor's plan is
going to
be?
Yeah. He's going to, yeah.
So
right, I'm in.
He's going to do one of those competitions where you have to keep drinking to win a prize, and he's like, I need these kidneys.
He's like, I'm the only guy who can do that gallon of milk.
I can hold my wee for wee, a wee.
Every night it's going to be like my 21st birthday. Yeah.
So obviously, they start trying to fight Luthor, but he's got this weird belt where he can like phase out
again with the belts.
Stuff.
Again, well, he's dressed like a kind of
like a garbage man.
Yeah,
yeah.
Garbage man guy.
Yeah. Then he gets really creepy because he's like, Batman,
that's
you
why he's
can't
so rich,
touch
he's got great
me.
Benefits.
But then he karate chops Batman and he goes, but on the other hand, I can touch you when I want to. And you're like, yeah. All right, Lex.
Thankfully.
It's getting a little rapey. He fights Batman and Robin. He escapes with all the organs, and he drives off in his doorstop, and he starts circulating the word that he is going to auction off Superman's eyes, ears, hands, and lungs. Yeah. So he holds an auction, and all these bad guys get together, and they start bidding, but there's this one dude that looks like this.
Clearly, Hunter S. Thompson has joined the evil side of Metropolis.
And he is he outbids everybody. He gets all the things.
Million.
5 million.
This guy must work at the women's bank.
The women's bank representative is here again. So he wins, and then I love what he says. Like, Luthor goes up to him, and he's like, you won everything. And he's like, here's only 10% of the cash. I'll give you the rest after you perform the surgery. And Luthor's like, oh, yeah, that's cool.
Lex Luthor, the dumbest garbage man ever.
Instead of being like, no, this might kill you. I want the money up front.
This is really dangerous. And he's like, nah, that's all right.
The way he goes, here's 10% of the dough. You get the rest after the operations. Lex Luthor says, I like a cautious man. You will be the recipient of the super parts, Mr. Paris. That's how that transaction goes down?
Uh-huh.
Yep.
That's how super villains talk.
We're good to go.
And apparently Lex Luthor, very trusting. Doesn't need a contract. Right. Doesn't need anything. Very trusting man.
Criminals have always known, historically, have been the most trusting people.
Of course. So Lex is like, oh, by the way, I'm doing the surgery myself. So,
what is with the unqualified, most unqualified doctors? I don't care. I don't care if he's qualified. I don't care, person in the audience, if he's qualified to do anything.
Unmiked guy in the audience.
So he's like, I'm going to do this. By the way, Paris, guy on the screen. Hunter S. Thompson, can you assist me? That guy's not qualified.
I don't know. Look at him. He looks like he's got some sort of surgery degree from a Miami
this
university.
From DeVry?
I was going to say, like, you know, like, ICDC College is where these people are doing this here. This is easy.
On a cruise ship, you better damn well believe I can perform a surgery with superhuman parts.
So it turns out that, of course,
I own Dr. Love by Kiss. That calls me as doctor, right? I own the single. The German pressing? I'm good.
So it turns out that the people that Mr. Paris here was buying these organs for was the Gang of Four.
They just finished their tour of Belgium with Echo and the Bunnymen, and now they're here.
So Luther performs the surgery. He has them hang out and get ready for their, you know, heal up. And once they heal
the operation here, like, is pretty, you know, it
goes really well.
Yeah, it actually goes well. I mean, they're better doctors.
And they are able to transplant all these things. So as you can see in this panel, we have these guys breaking tables and listening to things and upending chairs with super breath. But my favorite is the guy lighting his own cigar with his laser vision.
Yes.
That was the first thing he probably did. With his laser. Instead of just blowing a hole into a wall, like all of us would have done.
He kind of looks like Clark Gable. And he just looks all suave and shit. And you're just like, you know, maybe that was a good purchase.
Yeah, the ladies will be fantastic. He's like, can I light that cigar for you? Zap. Howdy. I'm Clark Gable. Look at my eyes.
So,
I like this poor, what was it, the ear man? He's just got like this really oblong head.
Yeah.
You know, for all that super hearing to be contained in. And then he got the guy with the lungs.
Who's blowing a chair over.
Blowing a chair.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, they're all just testing their stuff out in this small room. I mean, why not go out in public, you know, get in some trouble?
Oh, but
no.
They're going to.
Oh, they do.
Yes,
oh,
really? That's right. They're going to because they're like, all right, we're all good. Thanks so much, Lex. And the guy goes, who has Superman's hand, goes to open the door and he rips it off the hinges and he goes, so long, buddy. I kind of forgot myself when I opened the door. Better get it fixed. Ha ha ha. And Lex is just like, I will, Dan.
Thanks for ruining this office.
And then he's like, I never told them about the one part of Superman I didn't sell. And instead of it being his penis, it's his heart. So, but it looks like goldfish in this panel. It looks like
here's the thing. It's just, so like the heart looks like it was stuffed into.
It's really tiny.
Into
right?
Like a small, like, I mean, how do you fit the heart into like that? That opening.
Well, it looks like the heart has two parts to it.
Right.
Like, but he just smashed it in like
a puzzle. Like ripped in half or something. That's not, I don't know. Maybe Superman has two hearts?
Maybe his heart is just like, it's a figurative term. It's just a bunch of like, you know, pieces that you take out and then you just throw. It's like a stew. He has a stew heart.
Like a Chipino.
It's like a you can get it,
Italian,
you know.
Seafood stew.
Yeah.
Delicious.
That's what they serve at Olive Garden.
Yeah. It's great.
It's great, yeah.
And so that's how this book ends.
Yeah, it just ends with that.
That's it.
We're done.
Looking at right now.
Heart.
I got his beef heart.
All right. So the question now is, Graham, would you read the next issue of this book?
I think I would have to.
Yeah.
Because I want to know what the creep gang of four is going to be doing. This guy's just going to walk around and go, I can break any door. Like,
just ripping them off hinges.
I want to know what Lex Luthor's going to do with his heart.
Yeah.
I would want to know all these things. I want to know, now then, how does Batman solve this or fix this?
Oh, he does nothing. He just probably just goes and gets, you know, he just complains. You know, he's like,
how does he, I mean, obviously they got, he's got to round these guys up and make Superman whole.
Right.
So I don't know if you noticed, we never saw Superman's face in any of this. So it's like, oh, wink, zoinks, it was a fake Superman. It's
like, those wacky Superman.
Eternal twin. Jared L. Mike.
For being the last Kryptonian, there sure are a hell of a lot of Kryptonians hanging around,
yeah,
you know?
They scatter.
They like multiply, man. They're like roaches.
Yeah.
So
like when everybody from, you know, after Katrina went to Utah.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, totally like that.
It's like the Northridge quake. They all moved from, you know, California to Colorado, and that was all the.
Yeah.
So, Sean, would you read the next issue?
I absolutely would. It's probably batshit insane, and I need that in my life.
And I would read it as well. And actually, we have a synopsis for the next one.
We're going to tell you what happens.
That's right. World's Finest number 90. It's called The Final Revenge of Luthor. The, quote, death of Superman proves to be a hoax to get evidence on the Big Four. And the transplanted organ.
I thought it was the Gang of Four.
Well, I'm.
Have you been calling it? You've been calling it the wrong thing the whole time.
Yes.
So all of my '80s new wave jokes have been for naught.
No, yeah. We rarely call things by their real name on this podcast.
I understand. I pronounce quasar.
Backwards.
Quasar.
Quasar.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, so I'm going to read this. The death of Superman proves to be a hoax to get evidence on
so
the...
great to know how your guys' dinner conversations are every night.
This is it.
This is the Defenders inspired us to do that. You know,
we just sit around with cans of beans. So a hoax to get evidence on the Big Four, and the transplanted organs are only mechanical parts from an android duplicate of Nim-L.
Oh.
The secret of Nim.
Nim-L. The Nim-L 2000.
The bodies of the Big Four reject the organs at the same time. Batman and Robin...
At the same time.
Batman and Robin try to save Ace Shane, the recipient of the defective lungs, but Lex Luthor stops them, and Superman is not in time to prevent Shane's death.
Oh, no!
Batman says that the other three may be helped through surgery.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah, you know, because I'm sorry, your rotten hands are not going to be... We might be able to fix
gangrenous.
Those. Because the poor guy doesn't... He's not going to... You know, they got to find another hand transplant. Two hands. Mm-hmm. The other guy needs some eyes. You know, and then...
This is really evil, but...
Yeah.
I mean, this is, like, this is sinister.
It's really screwed up.
That's why...
This guy's eyeball.
Some of these really old ones are just... They're something else.
Yeah.
Like, they're people being mean. Like, Superman straight up kills a guy in one, but it's okay because he's an alien.
Oh.
So it's like, whatever.
Yeah. It's like, he just vops aliens with his eye beams. Just vop, you know, just knocks them out of existence, you know. And it's like, don't worry, he was an alien. It's okay.
It's all right, guys. So
I'm a good man.
So that's it.
That's it.
That is it.
For worst collection ever. Thank you so much for attending. We made it, and thank you so much to Graham Elwood. Thank you for being here with us.
You can listen to my podcast, Comedy Film Nerds.
Yes.
Comedyfilmnerds.com. And, of course, the Los Angeles Podcast Festival that I help produce is September 18th through the 20th. And you can get tickets for that, hotel rooms, whatever, at lapodfest.com. And we're going to start putting on sale pretty soon the live video stream. So if you can't make it out to LA, you can use coupon code Sideshow Network and save $5. And for $20,
yeah,
you get to see all of like 40 some shows and panels all weekend. And then we archive all the video for 3 weeks after the festival. So check that out. It's a blast. It's Comics on Comics has done it in the past. It's a lot of fun. If you're a podcast fan, you need to be in LA in September.
It's the Super Bowl of podcast festivals.
It really is,
guys.
It's good. Yeah, Sean, you were on a panel last year.
I was on a panel. I make money in podcasting, so I got to talk about that. About having a job in podcasting. It's true. You can do it.
Well, that's the great thing is people are like moving to LA to work in podcasting now.
Because that's where it's at. That's where it's at.
So come to LA Podfest.
And you can maybe you yourself can come here to the famed Comic Bug in Manhattan Beach.
That's right.
So once again, thank you to Mike and June from the Comic Bug here in Manhattan Beach.
This place is awesome.
This is a fantastic store. You guys need to go to thecomicbug.com, check them out. Mm-hmm. They have two locations here in LA, one in Culver City and right here in Manhattan Beach. And this place is rad, and they were very nice to have us here.
Yes.
So thank you again, guys. Yes, and thank you to Sideshow Network. Thank you to Comics on Comics, mm-hmm. Vito and Juan. You guys are very, very gracious. And I guess, Jen, where can people find you?
I am at Jen Stansfield on Twitter and Instagram, jenstansfield.tumblr.com, and jenstansfield.wordpress.com, where I continue to slog through every single episode of The Gilmore Girls and write reviews about it. So, you know, just check it out. I'm doing it.
She's doing it. Yeah, I did.
I'm season 3. So,
you can find me on Twitter at Angry Hero Sean, SHAWN. Also on Instagram at the same thing, and my Tumblr, theangryhero.tumblr.com. So once again, folks, thank you for joining us here on Worst Collection Ever, and we will see you guys next time.
Bye!